If you would join me to pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning that we can get out of bed and come to morning prayer, Lord, this opportunity to learn, to hear your word, Lord. And we just want to open ourselves up to you and be so receptive to whatever you have on your heart, your mind, to teach us and share with us, Lord. And Holy Spirit, would you help us to understand your truth and your heart this morning? We thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you could turn with me to Acts chapter 4. And we are going to start at verse 32. And then we're going to go into Acts 5, actually. Okay. So, these are all the church believers. And just prior to verse 32, they were just filled with the Holy Spirit, FYI. So they're just filled. And then starting at verse 32... And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself, with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your spirit to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell and breathed his last, and great fear came over all who heard of it. The young man got up and covered him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. She said, yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last, and the young man came in and found her dead. And they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard of these things. Amen. So we'll stop there. So at the end of Acts 4, it's things are great, right? We know that they had just been filled by the Holy Spirit. They're continually being filled. So the filling is not just a one-time occurrence at Pentecost. They keep going back to the Lord. They worship. They're filled. And as a result of that filling, great things are happening. They're speaking boldly. They are just sharing everything they have. People, it was probably just happening. It was happening probably not all at once, but in a series. Like, people are being moved to sell their things. Why? Because they see that people are in need. So they see that people are in need. They're moved. So they sell their property. and they offer it to the church. The church, in turn, then distributes it, and they're all just on the same page. Such unity, and this is what we would call koinonia, right? This is the relationship that's happening. And some people would see this, and there's commentary said, oh, this was actually the first instance of communism. But not communism. So what's the difference between communism and koinonia? So I didn't come up with this. Communism, let me get this right. Communism is... Hold on. Can't get this backwards. Oh, shoot. Okay, I'm going to just try. It might come out totally wrong. So communism is what you have is mine. I want it. Koinonia is what I have is yours. I will share it. That's right. So that's the difference, right? So it's a subtle difference in the way things are distributed among society, community, but the intention and heart of it was very different. So at this time, just great things are happening. People are filled with the Holy Spirit, and as a result, even the way they're sharing, they're just sharing boldly. And it talks about, interestingly enough, it talks about what they shared about. And they talked about, let me get this right, it says, they testified to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's what they shared about, right? They are testifying about the living Jesus, right? And so I was like, oh, that's what they shared about. Because oftentimes when we testify, it's like, oh, there's so much to focus on. You know, do we start at Adam and Eve? And I mean, all that is great, but that was their focus. Living Jesus, who's real and living and working in our lives, right? So all these things are happening. Great. So as we observe this, I think we think, well, we look to it as a model as well for Solomon's Porch. And we'll say, oh, all these are things are great. The giving unconditionally, the sharing. So it's easy to fall into the trap of we see what they are doing, so we want to emulate that. Or I should say, it's good to be aware, but if that's just what we're after, like, oh, so to be like them, we need to do those things, then it won't be the same, right? If all we do is, okay, we must sell our things, we must pray, we must worship, that in itself is not enough, because that is the outward, basically, all these things they're doing, do you think these early Christians were told to do these things? Maybe. But I don't know if it's like, oh, I don't think that they were thinking, okay, to pray effectively, I need to be connected to the Holy Spirit. Oh, I should give because this is what I should do. I think they might be aware that they should do these things, but it just came out very naturally. It was just a response, right? They were just flowing, right? And so what do we need to do these things naturally? Well, at first I was thinking, oh, okay, we need the Holy Spirit, which is true, right? The Holy Spirit, when we're filled, we're so bold, right? We can lead effectively. We can speak words of knowledge. Things just flow. So we can give generously without even blinking an eye, all these things. But the only thing is, even with the Holy Spirit, it's not a switch we can turn on and off, right? It's not like, oh, I'm aware I have no Holy Spirit working in me. I'm not filled by the Holy Spirit. Let me fill it. Let me turn that on right now. It doesn't work like that either. So even just being aware that you need the Holy Spirit is not enough, right? Because the Holy Spirit, because can you be led by the Holy Spirit even if you're not aware that the Holy Spirit is working in your life? Is that possible? I think so, right? And I think for many of us, especially when we first became believers, we didn't know perhaps who Holy Spirit was, or how, or maybe we're aware, but we didn't know how essential Holy Spirit was. Yet, well, many of us were saved, and we're just flowing in the Holy Spirit, right? We're so confident. All these things that happen, they just flow out naturally. So I think the key to even receiving the Holy Spirit and having the Holy Spirit work in your life is simply to fulfill the first commandment, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul. And of course, he's the one who initiated, right? He was the one who died for us on the cross, ultimate sacrifice. And then for these believers who actually experienced it, right now, they're just responding. And as they respond, they receive the sacrifice that Jesus did for them. It's this relationship is happening. And they're just flowing in all this. So as we, especially as leaders, oftentimes when we lead things, we know we need the Holy Spirit, right? Lead a worship, lead our house churches. We know we need Holy Spirit. But to get the Holy Spirit is not something we turn on with a switch. It comes from that love relationship. I don't want to get into, so what is love, right? But basically, it's intimacy, I think. It's intimacy along with commitment. I think of how I would define marriage. And I think if you are experiencing that commitment with God, if you are experiencing that intimacy with God, very naturally, you'll be filled and led by the Holy Spirit. And as you're led by the Holy Spirit, then all these other things will happen too, the giving, the miracles. So right now, the church is at an amazing place, building such a solid foundation. And then we get to this story of Ananias and Sapphira. And this is why what they did was so grievous, because this was like the early church, such amazing foundation is happening. And then Ananias comes up with a plan. He sees that people are giving. And at the end, it sees that, oh, Barnabas is, look at the privilege that he is receiving from coming up, laying it out at the disciples' feet. And some people, they see this, and they're moved by moved by compassion, moved in their heart by what Holy Spirit is doing with Barnabas. But for some people, they see the glory. So that's what Ananias thought, oh, that looks good. Let me do it. So there's actually two sins that he commits, right? The first sin is he's basically giving for the wrong reason. I want to submit that part of it was he took back some of the proceeds and lied. But even without that, he's already committing a sin, because his motive is not, basically all these things we do, it should always be a response, not to earn anything. So the proper response is, God, you've so fulfilled me. I know that you provide for me in every way. So what I have, I want to give back and share to those who are in need so that they can experience the love. But Ananias just saw the glory, which is, ooh, if I give like Barnabas, then I will receive acknowledgement. I would appear holy to the people. So that's his first sin. The second sin he committed was greed, right? Which is, he's like, hey, I can get this glory, but I also can keep my money. So he didn't give all of his money. So he does this, and it's already breaking what is like the beauty and purity of what's going on. And Peter, he's flowing in the Holy Spirit, and he gets word of knowledge right here. And he calls out Ananias, and basically what he did. Hey, why are you, why did you, basically called it out. Why did you keep the proceeds? Why did you say you sold it for everything, but then you kept some of it back? And even says, hey, like, you didn't have to give. What, that already belonged to you. You didn't have to give. So he gets this word of knowledge, this prophetic word, and is flowing in the Spirit and just speaks it out. And then, bam, he dies. I'm sure Peter was not expecting that, right? How many of us, oh yeah, I don't know if any of you've received a prophetic word that is sometimes a rebuke. And of course, we might have done it in a more gentle way, but we don't expect that whoever we're rebuking would just fall dead, right? So that was probably, I imagine that was a shock. Oh my gosh. So he walks out, and then the young men take the body, leave. And what's interesting this time is Peter actually, he doesn't just say, you did this. He actually questions the wife Sapphira and asks her, hey, do you know what happened? Do you know what was going on? And she said, basically says, yes. Or she still lies, right? And then she falls dead. But I think the reason is he kind of, maybe he gives her a chance to maybe not agree with the husband. And I think I take this as a lesson that, you know, wives, as you guys are called, I mean, both ways, but called to submit to your husband, it's not absolute, right? If it's going against God, who we're supposed to put first, then it's okay to not go along with it. And in this case, Sapphira should not have submitted to Ananias in this area and basically said, no, we should not do it. Because actually, how it describes it earlier is that Sapphira, it doesn't say she, it was like her idea, but she went along. She knew what was going on, yet she didn't do anything about it. And of course, Sapphira gets smited as well. Perhaps a heart attack, both of them. And then the fear of the Lord comes upon the congregation. And oftentimes we think, oh, what's fear of the Lord? I think this would be a good sample of fear of the Lord, which is, hey, he could, right? And that's what we should, mindset we should have towards sin. I think oftentimes what we're really fearful of when we sin is being caught, having that sin being shown to the world, right? And then we deal with the earthly consequences. Like, oh my gosh, everyone will know. And in this case, he was initially, Ananias and Sapphira, they were probably more concerned about, oh my gosh, like, I laid my offering, I'm expecting praise, and instead they were exposed. They were probably like, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing ever. They thought, everyone knows that we're frauds. But instead, they were dead, right? So that's the fear of the Lord. But after this, right, I think after that fear came, I'm sure there are other people in the congregation who are maybe feeling like, ooh, like, let me give for the show, maybe. Not even keep it, but oh, but at this, they're like, oh, we got to get right with God. We got to deal with what's going on in our heart. And then afterwards, they really grew. So I want to invite Cindy up. I feel like where God's taking us today is to really peek into our hearts. What is our motives? And it's important that we reflect. And I think sometimes with our smartphones, with our media, it's easy not to look into our hearts and motives of what's going on. Because it can seem good at first, right? Oh, I want to go to church. Why? I want to go to church so I can pray. Why? I want to pray so I can get the Holy Spirit. Why? Oh, because I need the Holy Spirit at work. Why? Oh, so I don't look stupid. Because I want to seem competent. So even those first five layers sound really holy, but when you get down to it, it's actually, why do you want God so I look good? And if you stay in that mode, you're staying in a very self-centered mode. But really, when we look in, oh, it points back to God's goodness and God's ability and capability to provide for us. And that's why we can just respond. And as long as you have that as your foundation, then I think asking for all those other things are fine, right? Oh, then you ask for, oh, Holy Spirit, I want more of you in my life. And actually, side note, sorry, is Pastor Sam over Yahweh Retreat preached a fantastic message called Job Number One. You guys should all listen to it. It's called Job Number One. And it talks about that first love as well. So Holy Spirit, would you just come? And we just want to be open and vulnerable to you and just able to face who we really are, face what our real motives are as we go about things. And let us even confront the fact that oftentimes, even we know that we desire you, and even though we know we need the Holy Spirit to be of effect, to be an effective Christian, that sometimes we actually don't have much of a relationship with you. We don't have much of a love relationship with you. That intimacy, that commitment with you sometimes it's not there. So Lord, we just repent. We repent for not being a good model. We repent for not having you as our first love in our life, Lord. And we just confess our weakness to you, Lord. And would you help us to just draw back near to you, draw back into your arms, Lord. And I know that you're such a good Father, and that is your desire as well, for us to be that we would draw close to you.
Praise and broken. Praise and broken. Praise and ending. Be yours forevermore. Praise and praise and faded. Be yours. Praise and broken. Praise and broken. Praise and ending. Be yours forevermore. untainted, raisin fading. Be yours forevermore. Be yours forevermore. Unbroken praise be.
Let's just all pray first individually. Let's just give God just praise with our words, through our prayers. Let's confess to Him His goodness, His faithfulness, the love He has for us. Let's just do a prayer of exaltation right now. And even as you pray, I just encourage you, maybe this is kind of awkward, but it shouldn't be because we sing this all the time. But just tell Jesus that you love him. Just as you would your wife, you know, your children, your family members. Maybe less so with our families, especially our own parents in the Asian context. But let's tell God that we love him. Yeah, I just encourage that even that I love you, that would be part of your prayers regularly as you speak to Jesus as well. But let's turn to the screens. Let's cover our community. Let's cover those who are going through cancer and chemo and radiation therapy. Let's cover them. Let's also cover those who are sick but in our need of salvation. Let's cover those friends. Let's pray for opportunities as well to share. Also cover those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's just pray that they would not settle for their circumstances and still contend and have hope to be healed fully and completely. Let's also cover our community who's looking for jobs. Let's pray for Leanne and Tammy. Pray that God would open doors, God would lead them, that they would be led by the Holy Spirit, that during this season where they have time, they can also really draw close to God and just fall in love with him. Let's We'll do our Thursday prayers. Let's start with our mission focus. Let's cover Singapore, SPSG with Pastor Sam, Kim, and Annie. They are on their leaders retreat right now with also Pastor Sam and Pastor Hyunsu. So let's pray that they would, Sam, Kim, and Annie, would still feel so refreshed and also feel so connected with Pastor Sam and SP Hong Kong as well. Let's also pray for Indonesia. Let's pray for SPIN, Pastor Salomon and Mimi, pray for their ministry and all the upcoming events and other opportunities to also expand as well. Let's pray. Cover our prayer and healing ministries. Let's cover IP team with Matt. We can cover the well led by P. Ricky and also, I guess, future transitions as P. Ricky steps out of the well. And also cover the river with Belinda and Janice and Rachel on maternity and also the transition of Rachel returning to the river soon. Let's cover the education ministries, Noah's Ark with Mary Nee Ling. You can cover there. They have an appreciation party for all the servants and volunteers this Sunday. So pray that those people who are serving would feel so loved and appreciated and refreshed. Let's also cover SP Youth with P. Nate. They have a youth retreat next weekend, so you can start praying for that. Pray for the youth to experience God. Also cover SPU with P. Andrew, that God would really lead him effectively to how to reach out to different colleges. Cover the Thursday outreaches. Let's cover SP Lights and Homey Outreach. Pray that God would use this team to lead this team and just to be bold as they share with the people that they're reaching out to. Cover the house churches meeting today, East Bay and Olympic. Let's pray that they would have a wonderful time filled with koinonia, sharing with one another, encouraging in one another, talking about Poverty Sunday and, you know, those who went on the Yahweh retreat also sharing their experiences. Let's cover these. Jesus, we love you. We probably don't say it enough, but we just confess to you, Lord, we love you. And we're in this relationship, not just for the benefits of being able to operate in your power and knowing what to do with our lives. I mean, that's part of it. But we're in this relationship because we just want to be with you. We just enjoy your presence. We enjoy who you are so much. We're so touched by what you have done for us. We're so touched by the way you have expressed your love for us. And that's why we just love being with you, Jesus. I just pray that that love that you have for us and the love that we have for you can continue to just flow back and forth, Lord, throughout the day for all of us, Lord. I just bless everyone here today that you would really be able to receive the love that God has for you. And also that desire for his love would continue to grow in you as well. That today I bless your spirit, that you would be so connected with the Holy Spirit throughout the day. And all that you would do would be a response to God's goodness and love over your life. And it would lead you in every way, your mind, body, and soul. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day, everybody. And have a blessed time as you continue to spend time with God.